Hello everyone, welcome to Paper Cuts. I'm Sam.
I'm Tom. Hello, how's it going?
I'm doing good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. It's been a hectic week, but a good week.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
It has.
And the news is no ruddy different.
News is no different. No, how's the BBC going?
BBC's good.
You were on the radio this week.
I was.
On the real radio.
I was on the big radio this week.
The big radio.
I know, how exciting.
The old-fashioned, old-school radio.
On the wireless.
The wireless.
Absolutely, so that was cool. But it was mostly, you know, it's podcastable and other things. It was very different to doing Paper Cuts, because I had a script, and even though I'd mostly written the script...
This isn't scripted?
Just to clarify, if people were confused, we don't script the show. It's meticulously prepared.
Absolutely.
But it's not scripted, so... Just to shock you with that one, but yes, I was on the big radio, and you were on the Guardian. The getting lots of articles, getting dug 400 and something times.
Dig. Do you want to explain what Dig is?
So Dig is, I'm doing my dissertation on Dig. Dig is a news aggregator. It's quite cool, DIGG, and it's probably worth checking out if you like news. And it's not terrible. It's a bit ridiculous, but basically
it's populism. It's democracy.
You may notice on various online news articles you read, there's a little button that says Dig, and there's a little lad with a spade. And basically, the idea is that everyone can click on this Dig thing, and it's kind of like editors are the people. So we decide what stories are good, and the ones that are dug by everyone get onto their homepage. And you made it on there this week. I've not made it on there, but you can check our stuff out. Should we put some links on the Facebook group? Is that the easiest way?
I guess
it's very different to what we've been doing. So it's nothing to do with Paper Cuts,
no.
Really. But this is where our real hearts
lie. Have you pitched Paper Cuts to them? BBC yet?
No, I haven't. The science audio, but no.
Radio 4. I mean, I don't mean to put down Radio 4 as a whole. There's a lot of very good programming on there, obviously, but they make some really terrible comedy programs.
They sure do.
I'm not talking about, you know, Just a Minute or the News Quiz or I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue or the good ones, but there are some really, really bad ones on there.
There sure
and,
are.
Like, I think we're, you know, we could be better than some of those programs.
Well, steady on there, Sam. Let's not push it out too far. But if there are any major commissioning editors listening, stay tuned, because you're going to get a pretty good pitch from us. Every show is a pitch. You've got like, we worked it out, because this is show 28, isn't it?
I've lost count.
Okay, this is show 28, which means I think we can comfortably say we've done 24 hours of audio. So someone could literally listen to us for an entire day without sleeping.
Imagine that.
Is that a terrifying thought?
No.
Okay, that's a good thought.
But yeah, you can, it's a happy warning.
Eventually,
thought.
We're working on the website. I'll get it up so you can listen to all the old stuff. You can get about 10 episodes back catalogue from us at the moment, but we will have the rest of the stuff up one day when I get around to that website. So it's been a good hectic week. Mm-hmm. I think you'll agree with the big story of today was the squirrel that got into the holiday photo shot. That really made it to all the newspapers.
That was amazing.
So is there much of a story there?
It's not a news story per se.
But all the papers
went for it. It's an internet meme.
What happened was there was a Canadian couple on holiday set up their camera, as you do, to work on a timer system. And just as they were about to take the photo, a little squirrel pops up right in front of the lens, and they're laughing. It's a very nice photo. We'll put it on
it's
the Facebook
group. It's a
great photo. We'll put it on the Facebook group.
And surely will soon result in people, or maybe it already has, people taking that squirrel out of that photo and sticking it in all their holiday photos.
That's a good point. I'll certainly be doing that. Well, speaking of that, interestingly enough, this headline actually got removed by The Sun. It really struck me, and this is what they did. We were talking about this earlier, kind of sensationalist journalism. And The Sun went with Brits getting touched up on holiday. You're thinking, oh, that sounds quite serious. Something quite bad, like that lad who had his genitals set on fire last week in Malia.
Yeah.
But no, this is about people airbrushing, photoshopping their holiday photos before they put them on Facebook.
That's a pretty misleading headline, isn't it?
A little bit.
You would get the wrong impression.
It's possibly disingenuous, but they took it down. They got rid of that headline. I don't know what they put on.
I really didn't think that the Sun cared that much if their headlines were slightly misleading.
No, but this
it's
one's
more
a bit
about
bad.
The pun.
But getting touched up on holiday is quite misleading, and you know, bad. So what they did was they did a load of sort of examples of photoshopping, because The Sun are obviously world-renowned experts at photoshopping, as are all celebrity nonsense magazines and rubbish tabloid newspapers.
Mm.
So they did some clips. They did one of Kerry Katona pre and post Photoshop, and yeah. So there we go. It's apparently, but apparently all of us Brits, would you do that? Would you touch up your photos before putting them on?
No.
You've never been tempted?
Not that vain.
Okay, fair enough. Right, well, you're good looking to start off with, so it's all right for you.
Oh, but, thank you.
Obviously, I'm being ironic, obviously.
Right. So Peter Mandelson has been running the country this week.
He has,
nominally, although he was quick to say that the idea that he was running the country was absolute nonsense. Last week we talked about Harriet Harman, and she was using her turn as duty minister to put forward issues, get herself in the limelight, get a name in the headlines. Mandelson was adamant that this wasn't going to happen. He said there will be no headlines and a few, or no, an aide said there will be no headlines and few announcements. And sure enough, the next day, he wrote an article in the Guardian launching a scathing attack on George Osborne and his policies. So it hasn't quite worked out, the whole no headlines thing. Just the day before, the Guardian had him on the front page again because they had this big interview with him, which was very funny, actually. I'll see if I can find some of the things that he said. Apparently, he subsists only on granola, green tea, the odd apple, and a pret-a-manger chocolate bar delivered to him in the late afternoon by his PA.
That sounds like a great job. Imagine that as your job, delivering being cake bars to Peter Mandelson.
This is a great quote. He said, "I don't really see myself as a big beast, more as a kindly pussycat. Yes, a kindly pussycat. I'm a kindly pussycat with strong views about what we need to do."
Hold on a minute, did he write that in his...
No, this was in an interview.
Okay,
interview,
so like it's in train. A monologue, see you
together. He was being interviewed on a train, and he made a woman cry.
Was this just by looking at her, or what? How did he do this?
No, she had been on the phone and talking really loudly, and... Mandelson's eyebrows kept going up and down. As if to say, "What is she doing? Who is she talking to?" As if he'd never encountered such appalling vulgarity in his life. So one of his aides told the woman to pipe down, but she didn't notice, and another aide reached round, asked her to lower her voice, and so another man jumped up and says, "Leave her alone!" And then this other guy is like, "No, she is being too loud." And anyway, when she got off the train, she went up, she was trembling, and she said to Mandelson, I just want you to know, "You've really, really upset me."
Wow.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
I strongly recommend reading the whole interview because it's very, very amusing. And yeah, he's a fascinating character, really. Last week you pointed out he can't be trusted because an anagram of his name is, was it Mean Old Serpent?
Mean Old Serpent, yeah.
So I thought, it'd be worth going and looking at what other...
Can we expose some character flaws in people through their names, is what you're suggesting?
Basically. So, Thomas Hoffman...
God, this is... I wasn't expecting this. Go on.
Month off Hamas. Are you currently taking a break from a terrorist organisation?
It's one of my several months off from that particular organisation. That's true. That is very true. The BBC said I had to renounce my conflicting interests before I did my month there.
Samuel Wong makes menus aglow. Or some other thing. Women's glue. Sorry, women's glue.
Women's glue.
Ugsome lawn.
Right.
Muse Lanugo. Muse as in a cat, and Lanugo as in baby hair, newborn baby hair.
Right. What other things could Lanugo be? Sorry.
Mule wagons. Last week we were talking about the guy getting all the flags tattooed on his body.
Yep.
And talking about, what flag would you get tattooed where, and an anagram of my name would give me a helpful suggestion. Okay. Because Samuel Wong could make whales on gum. Not many people opt for the gum tattoo.
That's true. Well, you could be a real maverick. I think you should go for it
anyway. So other politicians, Gordon Brown, this doesn't make many good things. Born do wrong.
I'm surprised no one else has thought of that. That's he does seem like that's possibly
Harriet Harman makes amaranth hyra, an amaranth being an imaginary undying flower.
Did you have to look up any of these words first?
I did have to look up that one.
Yeah, cool.
Or Maha rain hat, alternatively.
Super.
Rather hair man. David Cameron, random advice.
Wow, that's quite...
quite a good one. Candida mover.
Candid a mover?
Candida, as in the fungal infection.
Right.
Avoid card men, or crave diamond, romanced diva. Yeah.
That's quite good.
George Osborne, Ogre Gone Sober.
Wow.
Or Beer, Gorge Soon.
Those are good.
Those are good. I've got more. Lots more. Alistair Darling, A Radical Starling. Sorry, a radial starling. There's no C in Alistair Darling. What else?
His middle name might be C.
Nicholas Clegg, Legal Gnocchis.
Okay, yeah.
Good, okay. Those aren't great. Okay. Vincent Cable, Cancel Bin Vet.
That's a good one.
They get better, actually. Nicolas, I had more luck with the foreign leaders. Nicolas Sarkozy, ransacks Uzali.
Right.
Silvio Berlusconi makes invisible colours.
Wow. That's very poetic.
Or bonus virile coils.
Oh, that's disturbing.
Angela Merkel, make allergen.
Make allergen.
Vladimir Putin, virid platinum.
Okay, these are good.
Osama bin Laden, old man in a base. An Islam bad one.
Islam bad one. That's good.
Or a damn alien SOB.
Wow.
Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart.
You keep it contemporary. I like
German waltz god.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. William Shakespeare, I am a weakish speller. George W. Bush, he grew bogus.
Whoa, that's cutting satire.
Hillary Rodham Clinton, millionth anarchy lord.
Hold on a sec. Hillary Rodham Clinton.
That's her name, yeah.
So you had to bust out the middle names to stretch this one.
Yep.
Okay,
it does work better when you do that. Barack Hussein Obama, for example, makes brackish amoeba anus.
Wow. That's one of the few things the far right have not called him.
Last few. Robert Mugabe, embargo brute.
Yeah.
Good advice.
That is good, yeah.
Kim Jong-il, jingo milk.
Jingo milk, okay.
Really much. Colonel Gaddafi, fecal doodling.
Wow.
And Genocidal Adolf.
Jesus. These are lessons from...
It's amazing, the truths that can be revealed.
Lessons from history.
Anagram.
Well, if you really want to find out someone's true character, I think you need to make an anagram of their names. And if that doesn't... Well, find out their middle names and add in their titles. If that doesn't work either, these things can really go far.
That's our top tip for this week.
Absolutely. Sticking with politics, did you hear about Boris and his shed?
No.
Okay, so unfortunately Boris is in mourning for his deceased shed after planning officers forced him to remove it from his family home.
Oh no.
Yeah, exactly.
Why was that? Did he build it without permission?
He failed to apply for planning permission.
Oh no.
Islington Council ordered Johnson to remove the shed from his Grade 2 listed house in North London after he failed to apply for planning permission. The mayor, who has planning powers within London, made light of the episode when he was questioned about the incident. He thanked them for the advice they gave, but he said, "I think there's time when a chap should be allowed to mourn his shed." And this is reported in The Guardian, and they've been criticised for an anti-conservative silly season bias, which is harking back to 2006.
Who criticised them for that?
This was in the comments section of that original story.
Okay.
It was saying this season is The Guardian always do this, they're picking on the Tories, and this harks back to a story in 2006 about David Cameron. Cameron holiday destination cursed by White Witch. The Conservative leader David Cameron has booked a holiday in Cornwall.
Did The Guardian arrange that?
I don't think they did. They made sure to cover it though. David Cameron's booked a holiday in Cornwall but may struggle to relax after it emerged today he could be staying on haunted land. Cameron is travelling to the county with his family next week, and it is understood he has booked a house that was cursed in the 16th century. Understood there. According to Cornish folklore, the Helliers, the Helliers were the family that owned the house. They ran a lucrative pilchard business, and in the 16th century, a cargo of pilchards was returned to them unsold. At the time, the residents of Padstow were starving, and a white witch called Mother Ivy appealed to the family to donate the fish. The Helliers refused, and instead the pilchards were ploughed into a field to act as fertiliser. This is similar to the Tesco story we did last week. A vengeful Mother Ivy cursed the field, saying, "If ever its soil was broken, death would follow." The family continued to use the land until Helliers' oldest son was thrown from his horse and killed. In the 1970s, a group of metal detecting enthusiasts started digging, and within days, one suffered a fatal heart attack. And 10 years ago, when a water company disturbed the soil to lay pipes, the foreman died the following day. So there you go.
Does that have anything to do with why David Cameron is so evil?
I think possibly. Well, did he start being evil in 2006? We can't fully be sure.
We don't know.
What do you think? The Guardian showed a bit of bias there, or there's this, they need to cover that story. That needs to be covered in the main news. That stuff cannot go.
Yeah, but arranging to have the thing cursed. That's probably outlined. That's probably going.
Was there a guardian in the 16th century you agreed? Do you think?
I don't know the history, but okay.
So speaking of other have you got something political related?
In the political related sphere, there was Alan Duncan's remarks yesterday, or not yesterday, but they came to light yesterday.
He's foul-mouthed Conservatives part two.
Yeah, he's been in trouble before about the whole expenses thing, and he didn't take it well. So what happened back at the time was this guy called Hayden Prowse went to his house and dug a pound-shaped hole in his lawn. As an ironic kind of attack on his garden expenses. So Alan Duncan invited him to meet him in the House of Commons, but he didn't realise that Hayden Prowse was recording the conversation. And he said, no one who's done anything in the outside world or is capable of doing such a thing will ever come in this place ever again the way we're doing. Basically, it's been nationalised. You have to live on rations and you're treated like shit. So, a lot of people have not responded well to this whole Conservatives, they're not taking it seriously, the whole expenses thing.
Nice.
And they think that someone needs to tell them they've never had it so good, basically.
They say one thing in public and then another in private is the kind of thing that people are quite concerned about from working together.
But it seems Duncan's kind of a bit of a charmer, apparently. I mean, he seems like an arsehole to me. but apparently, I mean, the guy who did this to him says he kind of feels bad about it because he's such a charming and generous guy.
Yeah,
I don't know,
but not charming and generous enough to make him not release this footage.
Well, no, I mean, that's what this guy's job is, I think.
Yeah, I guess
he's sort of an amateur filmmaker. Anyway,
okay, so sticking with kind of controversial, and this is slightly political. Did you hear about the banana trial?
Yes, I did hear about the banana trial.
So this is. The Crown Prosecution Service has spent £20,000 on the trial of a man accused and later acquitted of stealing a 25p banana. So what do you think of this? We talked about bananas on the show to quite a long extent, actually. Probably more than any other radio show you're likely to find out there.
No. It seems like a lot of money to spend on trying someone who's stolen a banana.
Well, he did plead guilty. Oh, no, one of them pleaded guilty and one pleaded not guilty.
Mm.
So,
and this guy insisted on having his case heard in front of a jury because he thought a magistrate would find him guilty. And I guess in a way he was vindicated because the jury found him not guilty. But do you think this should have come to court at all?
I'm going to say no, but then equally...
You can't just let people go running around stealing whatever fruit or other objects they like.
No, this is true.
It's a conundrum.
It is a conundrum. So I don't know exactly where I stand on this one. 25p banana, it's tricky. It says they were drunk, but it was at 8:45 in the morning.
Like an all-nighter, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not like an all-nighter. And, you know, sure, it's tempting. This milk's just been freshly delivered while you're on the way home to people's houses, but you can't go taking it. That is... bad form, unless you know, leave money and an apology note. But I guess that's not first thing.
Even
in mind.
Still, it's not ideal.
In his defence, he argued that he'd not been given the chance to pay for the banana because security guards had acted so quickly, which is a good defence. I'll give him that, and that may have counted for him getting off.
Yeah.
But as the shop wasn't open, there was no one to pay. It seems unlikely.
Mm.
But don't steal things, even if it's bananas. You know, leave the money if you want it. You know, I don't think anyone's going to mind about that. I think that's allowed.
Yeah, I think we can agree with that. Okay, we're big on alternative forms of protest.
Always.
I mean, the shoe thing seems to have died down now.
Definitely.
But a woman in France who was refused French nationality. She was she's Russian, and she didn't get the nationality. And do you know how she expressed her anger at this?
I do. This is a headline that really caught my eye. In fact, so what did she do? For the listeners that don't know,
she hurled a ceramic mug at the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
This was slightly futile because the painting is protected by protective bulletproof glass.
Is it mugproof glass?
I think you know, on the scale of things that are likely to.
Okay. I see what you mean there. Okay.
Mugs come below bullets.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Anyway, so that didn't really work out for her, but she's got her publicity from it. That's kind of worked.
So yeah, but is it likely that she's going to be? Is it going to strengthen her case to stay in the country? Having thrown,
I don't think it really is. To be honest,
I imagine it's probably not. You don't want to be notorious for these sort of things, do you?
No. But do you think this has the propensity to catch on like the shoe thing did? Do you think mug throwing
cups at things?
I should mention it was an English-made mug as well.
Oh, right. Wow. Well, I don't think it's going to really take off because it's quite hard to get a mug into an art gallery. In my experience,
they normally have souvenir mugs, don't they?
That's a good point, actually. But they wouldn't be selling English mugs in a French art gallery, would they?
Not.
So it must have been a smuggled-in one.
No,
that's what we can only assume.
It's not the only controversy to be happening in France right now.
No, absolutely not.
Well, today in today's paper, is something about the burkini. Have you heard of the burkini?
I have. This thing is amazing for sure.
Basically, it's a sort of all body swimsuit for Muslim women to wear when they're bathing. But a 35-year-old French convert Islam has threatened legal action after she was evicted from a public swimming pool for wearing a bikini. So this has reopened all these bitter wounds in France. I don't think she's going to get much sympathy from Sarkozy. We know what he thinks about the burqa.
Indeed.
But that's not the only swimwear-related controversy this week.
Can I just quickly follow up on the bikini thing? This led to possibly the greatest subheading to a picture I've come across in recent times. This was an Australian newspaper. I haven't got the name for here, but it said for those who don't want to wear an itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, they can wear a bigsy wigsy sunny screeny crimson plain polyester bikini. So that's quite good.
Very good.
So there's more swimsuit.
More swimsuit.
Is this related to the athletics swimming?
No, this is related
a third one.
A whole third
These
one.
These things do come in through.
This is Alton Towers, who've announced that they're going to not allow men to wear overly skimpy swimwear like Speedos because they think it's unsettling to other people. The Guardian article begins, "Frankly, any man wearing tight swimming trunks at a water park that boasts adrenaline-pumping thrills is asking for trouble." But it seems that sanity, self-preservation, good taste, and even the memory of Rod Stewart's terrifying leopard skin Speedos have not proved a sufficient deterrent. So Alton Towers are putting this ban on men wearing overly skimpy trunks.
I think we can get behind that.
Apparently,
do you own any Speedos?
Do I own it? No, I don't.
What would you be wearing if you were sort of, you know, out on the beach? I mean, why are people wearing Speedos to theme parks anyway?
This is the water park. Water park, not the not for Nemesis.
Right. Yeah,
that would be
just
that would enhance be weird.
The thrill rides.
But yeah, I would go for something a bit longer, you know, some swimming shorts.
Okay.
Maybe, yeah, halfway down the thigh at least.
Yeah, that's a decent length.
But they're also looking at offering complimentary male waxing, which will ensure we preserve the dignity of all our guests.
Would you go in for that?
No.
Have you ever been waxed at all?
I've never been waxed in remote... No, not at all. What about you?
I think I might have had my leg waxed at one point in time, just one sort of strip off. Yeah. I don't think anything. And I think someone shaved my eyebrow once when I was younger, because I've still got a bit of a hole there. But no, I don't. No, waxing seems to be pretty painful to me.
Mm.
People tell you that it's not that bad, but
it hurts.
It sure does.
But yeah, and also in France, the Guardian points out that in a lot of French swimming places, you're not allowed to wear anything but Speedos. You're not allowed to wear long things. One Paris-based Irish journalist said he was recalling an event when he was doing some early morning backstroke in a pair of standard Marks & Spencer navy swim shorts that came about halfway down his thigh. As he went into the shallow end, the pool attendant screamed that his oversized attire was outlawed. He said they were being ridiculous and glided into the middle of the pool. A lifeguard jumped into the water after me. Three other attendants fetched a big hook for fishing out drowning people and hauled me in. I had to come back in an unbelievably skimpy pair that was somehow acceptable, but bloody uncomfortable for me and anyone who had to look at them. And the reason for this, apparently, is hygiene, according to Emmanuel Dormois, a head pool attendant in Paris's 11th arrondissement. Small tight trunks can only be used for swimming. Bermudas or bigger swimming shorts can be worn elsewhere all day, so they could bring in sand, dust or other matter, disturbing the water quality. By banning them outright, we are not forced to stand there measuring what can be defined as swimming shorts. I accept that some men feel very at ease at wearing small trunks, but others don't mind. What do you think of that?
Well, to be honest, actually, that's probably fair. You can't really... walk around wearing Speedos in polite society.
No, that's true.
Probably not even in France. And so I guess that's fair, because you could wear your swimming trunks out and about, you know.
You could, but why can't... Well, I don't know. As he says, it's difficult to enforce any other kind of law, but this seems a little extreme. It seems like a strange way of doing things.
But then looking at those bikinis, I don't think anyone's going to be wearing those out and about either.
No.
So they need to have one rule for one system, I think. That's the main
issue. A difficult one.
It sure is. Another big storm this week has been about healthcare. So the healthcare has been on the agenda.
Oh, yes.
And so basically, Obama is still trying his very own Mission Impossible to revolutionise healthcare in America. And the Republicans have been arguing against this, saying this is a bad idea.
Or not a bad idea, evil.
Evil.
Evil was
and
what Sarah,
death
Sarah
panels,
Palin said.
And they
evil
used,
and Orwellian.
Absolutely. And so it's a very strange one, this one, because they use the example of Stephen Hawking, saying that in Britain, Stephen Hawking would have been killed and not be allowed to live, neglecting the fact that he has in fact lived and worked in Britain for his entire life.
It seems a strange one to pick. But yeah, they're making up all kinds of stories. Basically, the American writers launched this massive attack, funded by millions and millions of dollars, to try and basically badmouth the NHS in order to persuade American people that Obama's healthcare reforms don't work. I mean, we slag off the NHS a lot in this country, but I think almost all of us agree that the NHS is a good thing. It should exist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe there are some long waiting lists, but I think we have a much better deal than the Americans on the whole. But yeah, there's all kinds of misinformation going around. The most senior Republican on the Senate Finance Committee, Chuck Grassley, said, I don't know for sure, but I've heard several senators say that Ted Kennedy, with a brain tumor, being 77 years old as opposed to being 37 years old, if he were in England, he would not be treated for his disease, because end of life, when you get to be 77, your life is considered less valuable under those systems. Yeah. Which is pretty...
Rather than the system where if you cannot pay, then your life is not valuable.
Yeah, so. I mean, I can't remember what the figures were. Millions and millions of Americans who don't have health insurance at all.
Absolutely.
It's, yeah.
It's certainly, I'm pretty sure it's more than the entire population of Britain doesn't have healthcare in America, and a lot more than that as well.
But yeah, they also sent around an email to US voters claiming that anyone over 59 in Britain is ineligible for treatment for heart disease. Again, not remotely true. But yeah, £1.2 million they spent on a television advertising campaign, bankrolled by the Conservative Club for Growth, and it displays images of the Union flag and Big Ben, while intoning a figure of $22,750. And the voiceover says, "In England, government health officials have decided that's how much 6 months of life is worth. If a medical treatment costs more, you're out of luck."
Yeah, it's just kind of bizarre. They made the point about Stephen Hawking, and the New Republic's Jason Zengeli, he endorsed objections to the IBD's article, which is the media outlet that pushed the article. He said the point the IBD writer was trying to make would have at least been theoretically plausible if, as the writer believed, Hawking was not British. Do you understand what that means? Does that mean anything?
Say that again.
The point the IBD writer was trying to make would have at least been theoretically plausible if, as the writer believed, Hawking was not British. What does that mean? That doesn't mean anything.
It means that their point would have been plausible if Stephen Hawking wasn't British.
Even though the point they were making was that he was British. What are they trying to say?
They're trying to say that the guy thought that Stephen Hawking wasn't British.
Okay.
Probably because of his American accent.
That's true, yeah.
And that's why he used Stephen Hawking as an example, saying Stephen Hawking wouldn't stand a chance in America.
That's true. Well, I mean, to be fair, how can you possibly be expected to know any... You can't get that sort of research. You can't find out that Stephen Hawking was English. You just can't be expected... There's only so much research you can do in news, isn't there? You know, you can't be expected to trace up every little fact.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, he's born here, he's born there, your healthcare policies are wrong. They're it's kind of where do you, you know, let's not blame him
absolutely
for that.
Absolutely.
It's easy mistake to make. You know? And facts.
It's too easy for us to criticise.
Don't get bogged down in facts. That's the last thing you want to do.
Exactly.
So, I mean, like you say, it's a difficult thing, and that's the problem with this whole scenario, is that there aren't any perfect answers, and it's not right and wrong, and the Republican... Well, not all the Republicans, I'm sure not they're all like this, but the extreme right is certainly trying to turn this into a simple debate, when it's really complicated, and you need to be able to say, there are things wrong with both systems, but what's the best way we get through it?
Exactly.
And I think to say that the American system is fixed is kind of ludicrous at best. And, you know, there's certainly things they could borrow from the British system that would work.
Yes. Yeah. People over here have been leaping to the NHS's defence, especially via the ever-popular medium of Twitter.
The big political powerhouse of the country.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's been all kinds of, you know, people telling their stories of how they were saved by the NHS or that kind of thing. Well, Stephen Hawking himself said, I would not be here if it was not for the NHS.
Exactly, something. Which is a pretty, you know, sort of clear, there's no argument.
Refutation
of the claims. But, you know, I'm sure the right wing will be saying, he didn't really say that. They just got a computer program to say that. He did it using the voice box and his Excel spreadsheet.
Voice box said it.
Exactly. So
the voice box has been infiltrated by the left-wing media.
Exactly. Oh, dear. So indeed. I've got... There's quite a lot of... it's been a hectic week. There has been a lot going on. The Daily Mail... I mean, this story, in fact, blew my mind. I mean, you know, I often blow my mind. And people do criticise. They say it's too easy a target to pick on the Daily Mail, and you shouldn't do it. It's lazy comedy, lazy journalism. But I'm going to have to say, in fact, it's not.
And it's an important public service.
I think public service is definitely it. So here we go. Right. Professional beggars earning up to £200 a night to supplement their day jobs. Okay. The sight of a person in tatty clothes begging on the street is enough to elicit money from many well-meaning passers-by. But it was claimed last night... Some beggars could be office workers with homes who are topping up their salaries by earning £200 a night from donations.
This is a Simpsons episode they're describing.
Exactly. Employees are said to be returning from their day jobs and dressing up in rags to spend their evenings pocketing spare change. One office worker with a 9-to-5 job said she planned to use the money earned by begging outside cash points and shops to pay for a new kitchen in her flat. Can you imagine this? Police are warning that more people are turning to professional begging to stave off the recession. Officers in Leicester launched a crackdown after discovering that none of the 20 beggars they had cautioned were homeless. You know, Sergeant Adrian Unwood said beggars could earn up to £200 on a Friday or Saturday night. We have intelligence. There is a woman who is begging because she wants a new kitchen for her flat, says Sergeant Underwood. I wonder where they got that intelligence from.
Oh, God. Is this woman a Daily Mail hack?
Well, you know, far be it from me to say, but yes. So this is all absolutely mental. And you can imagine the comments kind of reflected how mad this was, saying, you know, oh, get all the foreigners out of the country. They're the ones. I would never give money to a foreign-sounding person in the street. It's ridiculous. If someone isn't homeless and they're begging, it's not like we should be... jumping on these people for being terrible, you know. If you have to beg, I'm sure it's not.
People don't do it lightly. It's not something.
It's not an easy option. Like being a Daily Mail journalist, just making stuff up for a living. That's a sort of easy gig. Not sitting there being, you know, frowned upon by a whole society. But I'm going to stick with Derek McDonald from Saigon, who said, "This is just not true. It can't be." So I think I agree with you on that one, on Derek. Good work. But yeah, also, following up on this, is your digital camera cleverer than you are? You might think this is some puffed-up PR hook to sort of subversively advertise to the people.
But I can recognise a face quite reliably.
Indeed.
So I suspect that the answer is no.
I know, but that was in the Daily Mail.
Maybe, so what do I know?
It may be worth
asking
the question. It is a PR puff story, but certain Daily Mail readers may find it worth asking that question. It's just a big list of different cameras that do different things, and it's advertising, whilst not really advertising, but making an advert seem like it's a review.
Advertorializing in...
Which is, you know, but that's the way it's kind of going.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Guardian people were saying today, there aren't the adverts coming in. I mean, if you look at their newspaper today, there are hardly any adverts in it. There are loads of really big pictures because they've got the same amount of text.
Yeah.
But they've just, you know...
the picture's big.
Exactly.
Can you not get us a paper cuts advert in there?
I think, you know, it still costs money to advertise in The Guardian. That's why no one's paying.
Okay. Fair enough.
But by the way, we have sponsors. And Ed has sponsored us this week. What was his message?
I can't remember. It was...
he said...
Some football team. Is it Arsenal is a good football team? I can't remember.
No, sorry.
Arsenal are a rubbish football team, and that's my genuine opinion and Ed's opinion.
Yeah.
Tottenham.
Tottenham Hotspur are the greatest team.
We both said that basically. Yep. I'm really struggling to get the luster behind
that.
No,
it was, yeah.
But he has paid us.
I find it difficult to say that with a lot of conviction.
But, you know, if we're getting people to advertise for us, we have to sell it more. So, in fact, I can't bring myself to do it. That's as enthusiastic as I can get for Tottenham. If the BNP sponsor us, expect a similarly lacklustre thing.
But you're equating Tottenham with the BNP.
Well, no, but I just mean things that I don't like. So if you do want to sponsor us, you can. You've got to beat 20p there. That's the new high bid.
This is working. I can't believe this is working. People are actually paying more and more to get their message out.
I told
out
you this would
show.
Happen. This is why I am a new media maverick who will endeavour to really push things along.
Good. Yeah, I've got quite a funny football story here, actually. A guy called Grant Leadbitter, who plays for Sunderland.
Okay,
he was caught speeding 112 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And do you know why he was speeding?
Why was he speeding?
He thought he was being followed by Newcastle fans. Basically, he'd been out in Tyneside, and he thought that he had an altercation with some Newcastle fans. And as he was driving off, he was convinced that there was a car following him. So he put his foot down and sped away in his BMW M6, and then overtook a police car. It wasn't a great plan, really.
That is not smart.
But yeah, he was fined £250, and then £250 prosecution costs and a £15 victim surcharge. He's been banned for driving for 14 days, so yeah.
Do we know who the victim was?
The victim? I don't know.
Victim surcharge?
I don't really understand what
Someone
that means.
Someone aggrieved by his bad driving, or he knocked a wing mirror or something like that.
Maybe.
Right. So speaking, that's a kind of fail of the week, but I've got a few other fails that have happened this week.
Oh, good.
Okay, so we talked about barbershops being problematic for criminals in the past, about the guy who was in the barber's... He went out halfway through his haircut to go and deal some crack, then got arrested halfway through a haircut, which is not good. Made for a great mugshot.
Yep.
This week, barbershop closed for alleged prostitution. This was noticed because people kept coming and going without getting their haircut, so they rumbled that there was something sort of mysterious going on there. Again,
someone must have been very perceptive to.
Well, I know if it happens over time, I imagine there was probably the sort of. Smackheads falling out the door is probably going to be the clue.
You know, the scruffy, long-haired people coming out who don't look like they've had anything done.
That could describe me. Steady on. On Facebook, someone... this is a great picture that came out. There's a status update from someone saying, OMG, I hate my job, in capital letters. My boss is a total pervy wanker, always making me do shit stuff just to piss me off. Wanker, in capital letters. And then the post goes, from her boss, I guess you forgot about adding me on here. Firstly, don't flatter yourself. Secondly, you've worked here 5 months and didn't work out that I'm gay. I know I don't prance around the office like a queen, but it's not exactly a secret. Thirdly, that shit stuff is called your job. You know what I pay you to do, but the fact you seem able to fuck up the simplest of tasks might contribute to how you feel about it. And lastly, you all seem to have forgotten that you have 2 weeks left in your 6 month trial period. Don't bother coming in tomorrow. I'll pop your P45 in the post, and you can come in whenever you like to pick up any stuff you've left here. And yes, I'm serious. So,
ouch!
That is a zing.
That's a pretty massive fail.
Indeed, my final fail of the week is a guy who got offered to buy a 37-inch Sony flat-screen television in a car park, but it was for $100, but it was in fact an oven door. It's a variation on the old rocks in a box scam. So just be cautious. Don't if a deal's too good to be true,
it probably
it's
is.
An oven door.
Good. Okay. So you've been at the BBC, as we've mentioned.
Indeed.
But there were some quite alarming figures came out this week after they responded to a Freedom of Information request about the amount of bottled water they buy each year.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that?
This has flashed up on my BBC internal stuff.
£406,000 is what the BBC spends on bottled water each year. That's quite a lot.
That is quite a lot. Absolutely.
Have you been making the most of this bottled water?
To be honest with you, Sam, I've not seen a bottle of water since I've been there. This will not be at the World Service, I can tell you that for free.
We're talking about the large bottles of water they go in the water coolers.
It's all plumbed into I've got to press the little tap down. This will be at White City. This is TV. Radio, they don't have these such frivolities. People just, drink
They're
water.
On the whiskey.
No,
on the radio.
No, the thing is that everyone in TV is so paranoid about image, they have to buy expensive bottled water when water is fine. And radio, no, we just have... fountains like normal people have. What can I say?
Anyway. Good.
Okay. Just quickly, another kind of fail of the week. This is the headline was Thief Pigs Out to Dodge Justice. A Chinese thief almost escaped justice after changing his appearance by putting his feet up and pigging out for a month, putting on more than 2 stone in weight. He was wanted by police for stealing dozens of electric bicycles in Anyang, China's Henan province. He booked himself to a motel and stayed inside, asking friends to deliver meals and snacks, and took no exercise all month. The police went and tried to find him, but they couldn't recognise him when they got there. But eventually a tip-off led them to him. So it's a good try. Mm-hmm. It's a good try, but he's not managed to pull that one off.
Good. Another good silly season story. At the front page of The Sun on Wednesday. Did you catch that one?
I don't think so, no.
This was Pirates in the English Channel was
no,
the story.
No, I've not seen this one. It sounds worrying. Should I be worried?
I don't think you need to be too worried. Basically, a ship from Russia going to Algeria went missing. And it was speculatively thought that they might have been raided by pirates, but actually it's emerged that it's more likely to be a dispute with the owners of the ship.
Right.
Can't remember the details exactly, but yeah, I think The Sun got slightly carried away with that one.
It sounds reasonable. So we don't have to worry about pirates. That's a relief.
Don't want to rule anything out completely. Okay. I mean, there could still be pirates out there.
Do we have to pay a pirate tax or...
A pirate, I'm not sure. The pirate party, that Swedish party who won some seats in the European election, they're coming to England now, though.
Indeed, and they've been banned in Holland or something, so some more rhyme.
Have they?
Shall we have a bit of Wong's Bongs, actually?
Yep.
Wong's Bongs.
Just to quickly warn, last week was a bit of a... I'd say it was lacking something. I tried my hardest, but I couldn't find that much. But this week is a bumper edition. There's a lot going on here, so ready.
Okay.
Build up your lungs.
Deep breath.
Ready. Right. Okay.
Bong.
Dogs as intelligent as 2-year-olds.
Bong.
Britain's too lazy to change the channel.
Bong.
Obese man hid gun in rolls of fat.
Bong.
Dancing caterpillars put off predators.
Bong.
Cuba runs out of laboratory paper.
Bong.
Finland takes gold in World Sauna Championships.
Bong.
Chinese cheesemaker tries to woo skeptics.
Bong.
Surgeons carry out Britain's first eyelash transplant.
Bong.
Dog flies business class for $33,000.
$33,000?
Shut up.
Bong.
You already contributed to Bong. Bong.
Bong.
Gold bicycle is world's most expensive at £55,000.
Bong.
Opera being composed on Twitter.
Bong.
Chinese bride wears 2.2 kilometre dress.
Bong.
Women cry for 16 months.
Bong.
Cucumber thefts hit Australia.
Bong.
Oral sex paramedic was just comforting sobbing woman.
Bong.
Saudi businessman orders solid gold $47,000 penis enlarger.
Bong.
Nude man breaks into woman's apartment, escapes in a thong.
Bong.
Husband jumps in river to escape nagging.
Bong.
Elephant learns to play harmonica.
Bong.
Transvestite MI5 whistleblower ordered to leave squats.
Bong.
Man spotted riding bicycle with alligator on shoulders.
Bong.
Orangutan makes musical instruments.
Bong.
Victorian law catches drinker on mobility scooter.
Bong.
Footballing dog is Peter Shilton of the dog world.
Bong.
Woman who fell in Shropshire ditch safe and well.
Whew. Wow, that was a lot of very, very intriguing stories there.
Yeah. I
saw the one about the lazy, Britain being lazy.
Yeah, is this true?
I don't know. This was a study by Nuffield Health, which is a not-for-profit health organisation, and they came up with some suitably alarming figures about how lazy everyone in Britain is. Well, not everyone, but 36%, they surveyed 2,000 adults, 36% said they would not run to catch a bus, 59% would not walk up 2 flights of stairs to reach their office and would take the lift instead. 52% of dog owners don't walk their dogs. 64% of parents admit to being always being too tired to play with their children. 73% of couples say they regularly don't have enough energy at the end of the day to have sex. 58% blame a lack of fitness. How lazy are you?
I'm not that lazy. I'm quite, I'm quite active, quite an active guy. I mean, I know I do take a lot of chill out time, and I like to sleep. Like I don't like getting up in the morning, so that I'm lazy. If you ask me to do anything before 11 o'clock,
but you would run for a bus, right?
I ran for the train today. Uh-huh. I often run for things because I'm late and enjoy my sleep.
28% of people said that they would be prepared to exercise more if they thought it would make them more attractive.
Right. Well, I couldn't possibly comment. Okay, so I've got a good story here. Cat saves man from burning home. This could have been a Wong's Bong, but I like this story. A guy was asleep when a fire broke out in his bungalow in Bracknell in Berkshire. Black smoke filled the property. His neighbour's cat, Hugo, came through a cat flap and raised the alarm by clawing at the father of two's face. The rescuer said the fire could have killed Mr. Williams if he'd not been awoken by Hugo. A smoke detector...
See, I had an image of the cat, you know, dragging people out of the building.
Yeah, that's going to have to be a small man for that to happen, or a big...
Tiger.
Tigery cat, with stopping his, sort of, you know, natural death tendencies. There was a smoke detector, but he'd moved it whilst decorating, and it only activated after he'd woken up. They said this just highlights the importance of having working smoke detectors inside. But for me, I think this highlights the importance of training cats to be more useful.
Yeah, really, most cats are pretty useless.
Exactly, you know, if you could start training cats to do more of this sort of stuff, I'd be more of a cat person. Absolutely.
Yeah, because like dogs, you've got guide dogs and things who do really useful stuff.
That's true.
And they pull sleds and... Yeah. Dogs are really pulling their weight, but cats, you know, they do their own thing. They don't really care about anyone else.
Well, indeed, but speaking of that, we mentioned the cat that got the bus for 4 years the other day.
Oh, yeah.
If you missed that episode, you should check it out. This one, they get beaten by dogs as well. Stray dogs master the subway. Scientists in Moscow say stray dogs have learnt to use the subway to travel to the city centre in search of food.
I was lectured on this in college.
Really?
Yeah.
Biology professor Andrew Pyarkov said he's seen several dogs unaccompanied on the tube, saying they claim to the city centre where they can find food and travel back to where they're living each morning. These are commuting dogs. This is impressive. Yep. They do not just go to the subway station, they actually board the trains. If they fall asleep and miss their stop, they get off, take another train back to the centre. He said he also notes some dogs waiting for a green light to cross the road. He says they've managed to pick up habits from humans and is investigating the phenomenon. So that's mind-blowing. I didn't think that was real, but that's...
Well, I was sceptical when... I mean, the lecturer who told us about this was a little bit old and crazy.
Yeah.
But he said he tried to persuade... I think his name is Patrick Bateson. He said he tried to persuade Horizon to make a programme about it. Because there are these amazing dogs in Moscow that...
I would love to be there for that.
Yeah, apparently
pitch.
they know what stop to get off at. You know, I don't know whether they have Oyster cards or...
Who knows?
Yeah, whether they would offer their seat to
Speaking of public transport, this is a story about a 15-year-old who got a certificate for getting on a bus. He got sent a certificate by the exam board, AQA. He got the Using Public Transport Unit 1 certificate. In completing the unit, the student has demonstrated the ability to 1. Walk to the local bus stop, 2. Stand or sit at the bus stop and wait for the arrival of a public bus, 3. Enter the bus in a calm and safe manner, 4. Be directed to a downstairs seat by a member of staff, 5.
Be directed to a seat.
Indeed.
They don't have to find the seat themselves.
That's not part of this. That's unit 2.
Sit
on the bus and observe through the windows, 6. Wait until the bus has stopped, stand on request and exit the bus. Some of Bobby's friends also received the qualification, although others, including Bobby's younger brother Joe, 13, missed out on it. He's 15.
13?
He missed out on the... He didn't get it. He didn't manage to get the qualification. I don't know what he did wrong.
Bloody Nora.
But 15-year-olds, he got his 15 and he got the certificate.
What kind of value does it... Is this this half of a GCSE? Is it the same as
a
GCSE?
No. It's not a GCSE. It's just something as part of their, you know... It's the
General
Berry
Studies
and Rochdale
GCSE.
Active Generation Programme. Getting people involved in stuff. So on the whole, that's a good scheme, getting people to do stuff. But, you know, certificates are nice, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Okay, literary news now. And I thought this was a joke when I first read
it.
But apparently there is this book called Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah, I saw this the other day before it came in the news. And I was this looks
pretty weird. Sold more than 700,000 copies and is going to be made into a film. Apparently it's about 85% original material and 15% added stuff. This is clearly when Simon Pegg invented the rom-zom-com genre, he was onto something, not just in films but in books as well.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a sequel called Mr. Darcy Vampire, written by a Cheshire-based writer called Amanda Grange.
Yeah, I saw this book the other day in an HMV, and I thought that's because the cover's quite similar to the original cover, but it's called like Zombie Pride and Zombies or something.
It's
like
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies is the name of the book.
It definitely caught my eye.
They're also making Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters.
Wow, these sounds great.
They sound brilliant. I mean, yeah, I'd had to read Jane Austen. I had to read Pride and Prejudice for my GCSE English.
Jeez, what school did you go to for Pride and Prejudice? I think GCSE.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, this is a boys' school. Who decides? Oh, what would boys, 15-year-old boys, like to read? Pride and Bloody Prejudice.
That's mental.
We had quite a camp English teacher.
speaking of literature, prison poets caught in plagiarism bid. A project to encourage prisoners to explore their inner self through the verse has suffered a setback after inmates were caught plagiarising poems in a bid to win a £25 prize. So there you go.
That's shocking.
That's terrible. You know, Leopard doesn't change its spots. But some of them are not. They're not all cheating, just to say.
I mean, they get away with the what's her name, Jane Austen plagiarism, because they're not under copyright anymore, so they're old. So that's why they're allowed to do that. But so be careful which books you choose to adapt in to make your horror mashup.
Well, I'd like to do that. We're running rapidly out of time, so let's cover some last bits. There was this thing on cracked.com, which is a website, and they often have these lists of things, and one's about like drinking sort of things around the world, you know, little sort of idiosyncrasies of different countries drinking. And you read these ones and you don't really know the other countries, but in England they've got session drinking. Session drinking in England focuses on the community aspect of drinking rather than the amount, as with binge drinking. With session drinking, the goal is to drink a variety of alcohol that has a low alcohol percentage so that it can be drunk all night without feeling the effects of over-intoxication. These sessions typically take place at family gatherings, pubs, and other socially minded events. Does that sort of... doesn't sound like a big British cultural thing.
That doesn't sound like what we're familiar with in town centres. The trouble is, even if you're drinking relatively low alcohol stuff, if you're drinking at a normal kind of rate, then you will feel the intoxicating effects. I mean, you've got to go pretty damn slowly to not.
Absolutely. I've got this story about the perfect pet. The Sun went with this one. Did you see that?
Whoa, what the hell is that?
So if you read, you
that
can see
what
like
it's... That looks like a cat with rabbit ears and a dog's body.
And a horse's tail. So that's basically all the story is.
Wow.
There. Another. So we'll put the picture of that on the Facebook group. It looks amazing. They've made a picture with all the different pieces.
Is there some kind of rationale behind this?
No, not at all. Not
in
the slightest.
It's just a pet mashup. Mashups are all the rage these days.
This Charles Bollard scaring motorists. They've got bollards.
Oh my god, that's terrifying.
Charles Bollards. They look like scary children, and they're designed to make people slow down near schools.
Is that in Britain?
That's in Britain. This is in Leicester.
Wow.
Exactly.
That seems like something the French would do.
Indeed, this was in the Daily Mail again. People have said it's a nice idea, but it's a shame they can't be retracted when it's term time. It'll distract people,
really,
and they'll be vandalised.
Scary looking.
It will get vandalised, won't it? Definitely.
Yeah. There was a man, in America who was charged with possessing child porn. He had over 1,000 pictures on the internet. Do you know what his excuse was?
No.
He said that his cat had downloaded them. He said he was, you know, looking at legitimate material, and he left the room for a bit. The cat jumped on the keyboard, and when he came back, there was all this other content.
This is the thing. Cats, I didn't even know this about cats, but dogs, we were saying, are better than cats, and cats are now downloading child porn. It's a bloody outrage.
It's
and
a disgrace.
It must stop now.
Dogs would never do such a thing.
Dogs would never do that. Exactly. There's a story.
Puppy love dog.
Oh, dear. Man keeps severed leg. Chinese man lost his leg after a drink driving accident, and he now keeps the leg and brings it out every year to make sure people don't drink drive. And apparently no one in his village has been done for drink driving since then.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the duck? The duck with the replacement foot?
No, I didn't. I did see this. It's got like a little shoe sort of thing.
Yeah, almost worth bringing back shoe news for. It's not really.
He made a comeback.
It's a duck that was a bit crippled, and someone made it a shoe. And it got in some newspapers. Anyway,
other things. The government's been accused of not doing enough to help the unemployed, but they've given Arlene Phillips a job. It doesn't apply if you're a celebrity.
Oh, you're kidding.
They've given
me.
Her a job as dance champion. That's her official title. Maybe she'll get a trophy.
Not entertainment czar.
No, she didn't get czar. That's
czarina.
Other sort of things. A Kenyan man's offered to buy Chelsea Clinton for 20 cows and 40 goats. I'll keep you in surveillance there. A man's been thrown in jail for yawning boisterously in court. It was not an outrageous yawn, but it was a loud and boisterous attempt to disrupt proceedings. That's bad.
Wow.
And insults are better taken lying down, despite the popular saying that you shouldn't take things lying down.
What?
Apparently,
if you're lying down, your
pride will hurt less if you are lying down when you take an insult.
Should we try that out?
Boffins are found. Well, we'll experiment with this after the show. But there we are. We've run out of time, and we've kind of hit our marks probably slightly.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Join the Facebook group, and tell your friends, or sponsor us, of course.
Yes, we'll be back next week. Bye.